everybody. I'm Lacey.
I'm Bailey.
And I'm Drew.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Hey, everyone.
Hey.
We watched Mulan tonight.
Oh. Fucking good movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Mulan in a long time. Did you watch, like, original animated Mulan or the...
No, OG, yeah.
Okay, good choice.
Stupid.
I haven't actually seen the live-action one, but...
Me neither. I just heard not great things about it. I don't remember.
They check out a bunch of the songs. I was like...
Yeah.
Also, you can't beat Mushu.
Yeah.
Mushu's so good.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Dishonor on you. Dishonor on the cow. Patrick. Fucking kill him.
I didn't even hear him. Oh, I heard him now.
You know what though, Bale? In the recording, he doesn't get recorded. I've listened back to you yelling at him before, and I'm like, you can't even hear him.
Well, the problem is, like, I can see it on the side of, like, my mic is picking up, and it bothers the shit out of me. Speaking of Disney movies, I watched Robin Hood last night.
You watched what?
Robin Hood.
Oh. With the fox?
Yeah.
Oh. I feel like that didn't age well.
Well, it's Robin Hood. What do you mean it didn't age well?
I don't know. Have you seen Peter Pan recently?
No.
Oh, that's a problematic movie.
Because Hook is keeping a land of boys, or?
No, because there's a song called What Makes the Red Man Red.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, Robin Hood doesn't have that problem, though.
Oh, okay.
No, it's actually, it's my, like, when I'm really can't fall asleep, it's my movie that I put on for that.
Oh.
Because, like, the one song in it is, like, really soothing. It's when they're in prison.
Oh, you know what's good? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep every time.
Robin Hood Men in Tights is a good one.
That has a good song too.
We are men.
We're men in tight tights.
Oh.
Mm.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, I know.
What else is a good movie? I showed the girls the. Are you familiar with Animal House?
Yes. I grew up in our house.
Yeah. Lacey, have you seen Animal House?
I know of it, and I can't remember if I've seen it.
Oh, it's also a problematic movie. Less race, I think, and more sexual assault.
It's Jim Belushi and his, like, height.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I showed the clip to the girls where they were singing with the song was going, don't know much of biology. Don't know much of trigonometry. But it was when John Belushi...
Jim Belushi?
John? Yeah. Whichever. Mr. Belushi. I don't know. Was filling up his lunch. Do you remember that scene?
Do I remember it?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen the movie in a really long time, but I know it.
Right.
Another.
He died.
He might be thinking of Chris Farley.
Jim Belushi is still alive?
Yeah, he's 70 years old.
Wow. Really? What's he doing?
Before he was dead.
I swear, there's another somebody I'm thinking of, because he was in that one sitcom, and there's another sitcom dad that I'm thinking of who had died unexpectedly. Do you remember?
Eight Simple Rules.
Yes, yeah. That's who I was thinking of for Jim Belushi. And so when it said you're 70 years old, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
That was John Ritter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was such a good show.
That name is not.
Oh, that episode when they called.
Ridiculous.
Because he like slipped and fell at the supermarket. And like
I think he just collapsed in the supermarket was the story. Wow. Like his like heart gave out or something.
Yeah.
But like in real life, I think he had a hole in his heart that also gave out. Like it was something, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Here's another favorite movie of mine that's also problematic. Tropic Thunder.
It?
Yeah.
How? I feel
Like,
like
what do
if
you
you
mean it's
watch it,
good or what it's prob or how is it problematic?
I've seen people being like Robert Downey Jr. is doing blackface, but his character is doing blackface. That's the
And
whole
it's
thing.
like
No. I
mocking the character doing
But
blackface.
so that's not the part that they're talking about. Ben Stiller has come
Yeah.
out and been like, "Oh, it would for sure not do well
Because of
now
his Simple Jim or
because
whatever the guy is.
yeah."
Okay.
Oh.
Which
Okay.
forgot.
fair.
You know who has Jim Belushi energy? Jack Black.
He does. Do you think
Oh.
it's the initials?
I
Yes.
think it's the face shape. I think it's the attitude. He also feels like a cleaner Jim, if that
Yeah.
makes sense. Like more for the kids.
Yeah. Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the 50th anniversary of SNL?
Eclipse, yeah.
Yeah, I like how they did Domingo. Did you watch that one?
Yes.
Yes.
I love Pedro Pascal.
Me
Have you seen when he goes on SNL and he pretends to be like the Latin mom?
Yes. Oh my God, it's so good.
Oh, I love
It's like, Mama, baby. I
it.
also
Mama,
love
you've got to call.
the second one where she brings the tin of cookies and he just dumps it out because
Yeah.
everyone had a fucking tin like that and
And
they
put
just.
sewing stuff in. Lacey
Yes.
has no idea what we're talking about.
None. She needs to watch these.
No, I've. Yeah.
It's
I
also.
was
It
saying, I've seen some
baffles.
of the. Like, I saw him doing the Domingo one and stuff, and I saw a couple other ones with him on that episode, but I'm not. Not the
You,
ones that you're referencing.
Lacey, tonight, after we're done here, if you can, or when we're done doing this episode, Drew, share your screen and show at least one of them. It's.
Oh, okay, great. I'm
Thanks.
gonna show my favorite one where Tia is also there. Let's get into this so that we can watch it.
Side
Yeah.
note, it baffles me that, like, because he looks like a mom, but he has a full ass beard in it.
Yeah.
But I, for some reason, I always just block it off.
Lacey, your secretness is absurd.
What'd she do?
Just look at this. This is the first slide.
Don't look yet.
Because I want you guys to guess my first one.
It?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell. Well, are we diving in? Is it time?
Yeah, let's dive in.
All right. So
Drive on.
I've got
I'm
another
about
urban
to
legend episode for you
die.
guys.
Okay.
I think this is the third one.
I think you're right. And can I ask, is it a location-specific one?
No, it's more of like the legends themselves are similar, and that it's all creatures versus like
Okay.
a ghost
Loch Ness
story or
Monster.
something. Huh?
Chupacabra.
Oh, well, hold
Ooh.
on. We didn't start yet. So, the first one's the only one I'm making you guess. The other two, I don't think, unless you're going to surprise me, are well known enough for you to guess.
Let's give it a shot.
Don't just start yelling them out. I have a place I'm going to pause and say, do you have a guess?
She's such a teacher.
All
Yeah,
right.
she also knows us.
You want us to raise our hand
Because
too?
in my when I was typing this up, I'm like, I'm gonna say the first bullet, and they're gonna start yelling, and I'm gonna be like, wait, because not
There's
everybody, some
more.
people who are listening aren't gonna know, and they're gonna need a couple more clues, which is fine.
Fine.
What is that beeping sound?
It's my fucking notifications.
Stop
Hold
it.
on.
Also, Lacey, so how do you feel about urban legends, creepy creatures?
Oh, that's good. I think that'll
Ooh.
fit. All right, so
Is it Harry Potter?
urban legend
Loch
started
Ness
in
Monster, God.
Puerto
That's an
Rico.
inside joke.
Oh, ooh, ooh,
Started
ooh.
in Puerto Rico. Wait, it's not time.
Oh,
okay.
okay.
Although we didn't get our first eyewitness account until 1995, it is credited with some activity all the way back to 1975. So, a small Puerto Rican town named Moca was dealing with livestock killings. The animals reportedly each had a series of small circular incisions and were bled dry. The killings were attributed to El Vampiro de Moca, or the vampire of Moca, and were believed to have been done by a satanic cult. The killings spread across Puerto Rico, so it kind of left Moca and other towns were having issues with livestock killings for a while. Now we're going to bump ahead to March of 1995.
I was not born yet.
Oh, I was.
Me too.
Eight sheep were killed, each of them apparently drained of blood through puncture wounds in their chest. And then once again, more livestock started being killed across the island. In August, an eyewitness came forward. I have like weird hiccups right now. An eyewitness came forward named Madeline Tolentino. Maybe Madeline. She said that she saw the creature in the town of Canovanas, which had been hit hard. They had had up to 150 livestock and pets killed in this town, and she had seen the creature. She described it as standing about 4 feet tall on two legs with two arms. It had three fingers or toes on the end of each arm or leg. It had large dark eyes that went up at the temples. No ears or nose, just air hole, like slits right in the front of its face, and spikes down its back.
I'm not making a guess. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead. I was
Sorry.
ignoring your hand.
Is this like 150 count like verified, or is this just like,
I don't know, but I'm willing to bet not.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet it was local
I
hysteria
was like, how is
ramped
this an
up the number.
urban legend
Yeah.
if we're sure that this was that much?
Yeah. Drew, you can't guess, but you can ask questions.
Yeah, I'm picturing like a lizard or a frog.
Yes,
Because the
I
slit
do
note.
have. In a minute, I'm going to have you guys guess, and then I do have a picture that's like an artist's rendering of her eyewitness account.
I can't wait to see this because the last time we did Urban Legends and you showed us like the storm hag, I was really
Oh,
excited.
yeah.
Sure. Three fingers, right?
Yep. Three
Like a
fingers, three
T-Rex?
toes.
With three
it
toes?
didn't. Yeah, on its legs had three toes, fingers, arms had three fingers. It didn't say short T-Rex arms, just that it had two legs and two arms. Air holes right here instead of like an actual nose, spikes down its back, down its spine.
Like a T-Rex and a frog mix.
Where'd you get a frog from?
Nose.
Okay,
Oh.
lizards do that too.
Okay, so a
Like
lizard
Lord
and a.
Voldemort knows.
Yes. Was it Lord Voldemort?
Yes.
He didn't
By
have
this time, she came
spikes.
forward with her eyewitness account.
I have a
Similar exact.
question.
Yeah.
Why is he Lord Voldemort?
Because he decided to be.
What?
Because his name was Tom Marvolo Riddle, and he rearranged the letters to come up with a new name for himself.
Oh,
So he came
so
up with Lord Voldemort.
the queen didn't like knight him
No, he
lord.
wasn't like
He just was
knighted.
like, I'm going to be
He
the
said, "You're going
lord.
to call me Lord now." Yeah.
Huh.
And his
Okay.
people were like, "Dope, we're on board. We like you
So
so much." Yeah.
that
So by
sounds.
this time, similar attacks were being reported in Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, Panama, Peru, and the US. So it was spreading across Latin America, up through Mexico into the US.
This
Like
really
a
gets spread out.
pandemic.
Yeah. Soon after this, Puerto Rican comedian Silverio Perez was the first one who said the name that the creature would become known as. Do we know what this creature is?
Chupacabra.
It is El Chupacabra. I
Is
was
it really
so
those
annoyed when he
spotted?
said that before I first started. El Chupacabra. So, that drawing on the left is an artist's rendering of her first description. I'll explain the alien thing on the right in a little bit.
Yeah, that alien thing has boobs.
It does. It is a lady.
That's La Chupacabra. What's the female name?
La Chupacabra. Do you know when I started doing this, at one point I was like, oh no, wait, it's not El Chupacabra, it would be La Chupacabra. And I switched it in my notes, and then I was like, I think I've only ever heard El Chupacabra. And so then I had to Google it to make sure I was right, and it is L. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't it be La? Because it's an A on the end of Chupacabra. But anyway.
There are some words that I can't think of any right now, but are masculine that end in an A.
Yeah. El
I don't know
Chupacabra.
Spanish, so I didn't know that rule.
So, well, oh, you're about to learn Spanish. The name
Oh.
Chupacabra translates to goat sucker.
Well, I knew that bit.
Oh, okay. The description that I gave, that Madeline Tolentino gave, probably a little bit different than what you picture the Chupacabra to look like when you think of it, because Latin America describes it differently than how it's been described in the US. So in the early 2000s, reports of the chupacabra eventually came up through Mexico and into Texas. From there, they spread through the southwestern U.S. U.S. accounts describe a small bear or dog-like creature, occasionally with tufts of fur and large fangs. The creature usually has a pronounced spine, so not spikes like this guy, but it's like the ridge sticks out a little bit. So, oh, and you go to the next one. The next one I think has a picture of U.S. version.
That's why I was a little
Yeah.
confused because I
This
was
picture was
imagining
captured by a man in Houston, Texas, and it's obviously the chupacabra.
that for sure is a
Yeah.
dog.
And I want to say the slide after that is just a hodgepodge of different renderings of what it looks like.
That looks like a Wendigo.
Ooh. Oh, I
What's
like that
up?
one too. We'll do that on another episode. So,
Oh, well, oh.
how much do we believe in El Chupacabra? Hey, you see all these different
Are you
weird.
asking or?
Yeah, and then I'm going to tell you some stuff. What are your thoughts on El Chupacabra?
I don't want to insult any.
Go ahead. I'm gonna.
I don't like that there's different things.
And
Maybe
they
it's
vary greatly.
like a Yeti and the Abominable Snowman and Bigfoot type of deal where it's like probably the same creature but different evolutionary phenotypes to better serve the environment that the item is living in.
Yeah, these are, we've got such a huge range of description for this thing, which is one of the problems.
Real
So,
quick, can I tell Billy what a Wendigo is?
yes.
So a Wendigo is like Native American legend where if a human ingests another human's flesh, their soul will be like trapped and they'll be forever hungry for human
Humans.
flesh. And the
Wow.
more human they eat, the less human they become.
Oh.
And then they eventually become a Wendigo.
Interesting.
Yes.
Is that like a is it like a skinwalker in the Appalachian Trail? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think that they are very similar, but
My first
Wendigos don't usually shapeshift or like.
Yeah, it's just the creature that it is. My introduction to Wendigos was a Supernatural episode.
Hey, same. Or maybe. Probably, yeah. But then I also played the game Until Dawn, which is being turned into a movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yes,
Oh, that's
it's
fun.
an interesting rendering, I guess. I don't know. It's so you know how like in the game you have you it's like butterfly effect. So you make choices and it ends with either your person surviving or dying. And then in the movie, it seems like the same kind of idea, except you've made the wrong choice and your person's about to die. And just before they die, and then you make the right choice. And then you
Oh,
go down
interesting.
that butterfly effect, that kind of thing.
Okay. It could be cool or it could suck. I guess we'll find
Yeah.
out.
Yes.
So, let's talk
Back to
about
the chupacabra.
the appearance of the chupacabra. So a man named Benjamin Radford spent 5 years investigating, and he published a book in 2011 called Tracking the Chupacabra. I did not read the book. Just throwing out there's a book if you're interested. I did
How
not
big is
have
it?
time to read it. I don't know. So
Tracking.
the first eyewitness description from Madeline Tolentino looks suspiciously like a creature named Syl in the sci-fi movie Species, which came out in 1995, and which Tolentino had seen before seeing the Chupacabra. So if you go back to that slide that had the picture of the weird alien thing on it, that is Syl from Species. That's why she has boobs. She's a lady alien.
Okay.
But like her spines on her back and her eyes and her clawed fingers and toes. It was all very similar. And after interviewing her and talking with her, according to Radford, Tolentino believed that the events in Species, the movie, were real and were happening in Puerto Rico. So she's not as reliable a witness that y as you would hope for.
How old is she?
I don't know. Like how old she was at the time. From what the stuff I was reading, I got the impression she was a young adult.
Okay.
And then when I read that, I was like, oh, a young disturbed adult, maybe.
Oh, the book, by the way, is over 200 pages. So,
So,
seems like a lot of information.
yeah, so it kind of got the vibe of this woman saw something but like didn't really see it and came up with this description, and then people just kind of took off with it. So as far as the US Chupacabra, the one that's more dog-like, that one I think is easy to explain if you just look at the fucking pictures of them. Barry O'Connor, who's a biologist at the University of Michigan, determined in 2010 that the reports in the US were either they're just coyotes or dogs who had either a parasite called Sarcoptes scabby, or mange.
Babies.
Yeah, I feel like it's just scabies, but like the official name for it. Scabies or mange. Either one of these would cause the skin to become like real kind of thick and weird looking, and most of the fur to fall out. Also a bad smell. And I think every picture I could find of a chupacabra in the US looks like a sick coyote.
Oh.
You know?
Scabies and mange are gross.
Yeah. Yes. So the description has evolved. Sometimes a chupacabra has fur, sometimes just like thick, weird skin, like in this picture. Sometimes leathery or scaly skin. Sometimes it has wings.
Oh.
Sometimes it has a tail. Occasionally it's bat-like. Which I feel like the picture at the bottom right with the ears is bat-like. So
That
just the
looks
fact that there are
more
so many descriptions of it is problematic for nailing it down as like a real thing.
like that bat-like one looks more like a bat or like Dracula from like Van Helsing or something.
It looks like a gargoyle. And the one on the top left, which is more of like the Latin America description, looks to me like a man wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we've got our victims, the livestock and pets that are killed. As far as Puerto Rico and more like Latin America's chupacabra, no necropsy. I don't know if it's pronounced necropsy or necropsy. It's the
Necropsy.
autopsy for animals.
Yep.
None was ever performed on any of these animals, although we have this veterinarian, Dr. David Morales, who examined about 300 of them over several years and said none of them had actually been drained of blood. That was just a thing that people started saying and it spread. They all had their blood. Areas that have high numbers of reports of seeing chupacabra, specifically in like Puerto Rico and Mexico and like South Texas, often have extreme drought conditions. So this could cause your prey animals to die out, and then your predators are seeking easier prey, so they're going after livestock and pets. It would also cause them to probably be more like violent or vicious in the attack. And there was a range of people saying that their livestock was killed by chupacabra, where some of them said the only marking was the incisions and then the blood being drained. And then others saying that the animals were like really ripped to shreds. For the US chupacabra, Dr. O'Connor said that if they've got scabies or mange, they would be weakened from that. And therefore would turn to killing livestock because it's easier than trying to, you know, go after a rabbit or something that's fast and can run from you. And the puncture wounds would be expected from canines. So you would expect to see puncture wounds on them. In Radford's book that he wrote, he talks about 10 attacks that he considered to be like significant as far as people talking about them and believing them. Seven of these had the carcasses autopsied, and for each one of these, they found a predator animal's DNA on the animal and were pretty easily able to say this was just attacked by like a coyote or something else. Yeah.
Seems like the theories are falling apart.
Yeah, it seems
Yeah.
like
Pretty quickly.
feels like we know what's going on.
Yeah. And I feel like the first time somebody heard that woman say, it looks like an alien with big eyes and spikes, and people were just like, I get it. I think I've seen that as well. That's a little wild.
It reminds me of like the Salem witch trials when they're like, I saw Mary Beth floating by the water,
And then everybody was just like, I believe you.
I saw her too.
Yeah.
And she put a spell on my husband and now he left me.
Was obviously because of her.
Yes, Mary Beth is
He
a
would never
witch.
have done that to me.
No, Mary Beth is a witch.
Yes. How
Also,
cool is a Mary
she's got
Beth?
a cat.
Oh. And she can read, which is the worst
That was
evidence.
devil worship. Why does she need to read?
Did I send you the TikTok? It's like woman's reading a book with some like spicy scenes at like a sexy book or something. And it's like woman from the 1800s. Oh, I can't like it is, I should just send it to
You're
you.
doing a really good job.
Thank you. Woman in the 1800s sees her and she's like, "You're a whore." And
Oh,
then
yeah.
the modern woman says, "Spell whore." And she spells it and she's like, "Witch." She doesn't spell it. Yeah, so that's El Chupacabra.
Okay.
How do we feel about him?
I
I was a little
feel
bummed when I started researching that it wasn't more believable.
like I don't think it's a US thing, but maybe it's still somewhere in the Central to South America region.
Yeah.
I
That
don't know.
picture that I had, that guy snapped the picture in Houston, that was from a news article that they ran in like 2019.
Oh, wow.
It must
Yeah,
have
and
been
I
a
was like,
slow news day.
that is a sick canine.
Lacey doing some armchair diagnosing.
My favorite picture ever of any of these that I've shown was that one of the Tasmanian devil, where it just looked like a goat with wings that somebody threw up in the air real
Oh,
quick.
yeah, that was so funny.
It was so good.
Was great.
I was kind of hoping for some like that of this. I thought I'd come across some, but
I mean, you could just go out and do that. Throw some wings on one of your cats and toss them in the air.
Awesome. Yeah. Ah.
What's
All right.
next?
Ready for the next? We are moving to
Yes.
North Carolina.
Gonna turn
Going to
this
tell you
HA?
about the Beast of Bladenborough. Oh, would you like
Ooh.
that? Yes.
It's about Len.
Yeah. I don't like the tail.
Too bad.
What's wrong with the tail? It's in the shadow.
Don't
So I don't know if it's pronounced Bladenborough or Bladenborough. I'm saying Bladenborough because I knew somebody named Bladen and it was spelled like the first part of Bladenborough, so I feel good about that.
Also, sorry, I feel like in this illustration, the moon is behind the animal. Why is his face all lit up?
Don't worry about
The
that.
lighting's wrong.
They
The
have a
artist had a
flashlight.
flashlight.
Hey.
So, on December 29th, 1953, a dog was killed in Clarkton, North Carolina. Witnesses said it was killed by a cat-like creature that was sleek, black, and about 5 feet long.
So, a mountain lion.
Or a panther.
On
We don't have
December 31st,
panthers.
those are two theories. On December 31st, a Bladenborough resident reported that two of his family's dogs had been killed.
Oh.
Around 10:30 p.m., they found one dog dead on the porch. There were puddles of blood on the porch and a pool of saliva, he says.
This is
The dog.
sad.
So wait, hold
There's a
on.
lot of dead dogs in this story.
The mountain
Aww.
lion creature thing brought the dog back to the house?
No, like, this is a different dog. Oh, this is a different dog. So
Oh.
the one on the 29th, that dog was killed. That was a couple miles outside of
Yeah, you
Bladenborough. Now we're moving into Bladenborough.
two dogs went missing, and then the guy found one of them on his porch.
Well, I didn't finish.
I know, but it sounds like you know how when your cat brings you a gift?
Yeah. No, it wasn't two dogs went missing. Two dogs were killed.
How do they know they were killed?
Because they were dead on the porch
Both
by
of
their
them?
dead bodies
in a pool of water.
Let me tell you more, and then
Blood
you'll know.
rule. Now
And
let's jump to
so.
conclusions now.
So around 10:30, they found one dog dead on the porch, puddles of blood on the porch, a pool of saliva.
Drool.
His lower jaw had been torn off. This man who like reported this happening, his father, who he lived with, wrapped the dog in a blanket and then left it on the porch for them to take care of tomorrow because it was late. The next time they went out on the porch, blanket and dog were gone.
Oh, he took the blanket?
Yeah, like took the whole package. Around 1:30, their other dog was attacked and taken. Now, here's my feeling about this.
Just stop letting your dogs outside.
Sounds to me like after your first dog was killed, you either let your other dog outside unsupervised or you kept your outside dog outside. So, you know, that's your business, but like, what a decision, you
Your responsibility.
know? So they didn't immediately find this dog. It took 3 days for them to find it.
Also,
It was, yeah.
sorry, but you at the beginning you said two of their family dogs. So they had
Just
more.
two dogs. I feel like you're stuck on weird aspects of this. Two, that's that, okay. I wrote two of his family's
True.
dogs had been missing.
Yeah.
I don't have any
She's
idea how many they have.
not
In
hiding
my
herself
head,
in the words, okay?
I'm picturing he's got like hunting dogs like in a kennel. And the beast of Bladenborough is just picking them off. He's not gonna let the hunting dogs inside because gross.
I feel like you're
Maybe
still
staying out there with your rifle for the rest of the night or
on the
something.
mind of like how we were supposed to guess the first one. So you're like looking for clues.
Yeah, I'm looking
There's
for
no
clues.
clues.
You don't have to guess anything anymore.
Why
It
are
was
you
the
holding the
beast.
mic so close to your face?
Because otherwise it's over here.
She's
Okay.
lounging comfortably. So the other dog
Can you hear
was
me?
taken around
Yeah, move it
1:30
closer, but don't hold it right up against your face.
a.m. They didn't find it right away. It took 3 days to find the dog. It was in some hedges nearby. They said that its body was wet and crushed, like it had been held in something's mouth, and its head was torn off.
Oh.
So that was December 31st. January 1st, 1954. Two dogs were found killed on a local farm. I don't have a description of any of these other dogs like I had for the first two, so it doesn't stay as like gruesome.
Is this the same family?
Do you know
Nope,
the
this was
breed?
a local farm. I don't know the breed. There's only one dog in here that I have a breed for you, and that's gonna come in at the end.
What are their names?
But most of these seem to be on farms, so I'm gonna say they were working dogs. January 2nd, the next day, another farmer reported that his dog had been killed.
Jeez.
January 3rd, the next day, two more dogs. This time, they did the necropsy on one of the dogs, and it
Absolutely.
reported that it had very little blood left in it. So they actually did the examination, and the dog had little blood left in it. Its jawbone had been smashed. So at this point, this thing's making off with dogs every day for the past like 4 days.
Yeah, if
People
this was
have.
a human, we would say that he was
Serial killer.
well, serial killer, definitely, but I was gonna say like killing spree or something.
Yeah. So at this point, more and more
So
people had seen glimpses of this animal because it's been active the last couple of days.
whoosh.
Really?
That's pretty abnormal for like a wild cat.
Yeah.
They'll last a few days off of like a good sized meal. They
Yeah. I
don't
don't.
think that this animal is eating any of the dogs, though.
He removed its head.
Yeah,
It is
he's
big in
eating
pieces
the
for sure.
jaw and the heads. I don't think that that's where the meat is.
Yeah, and it does feel weird for a big cat, for most animals, even if they are predators, to keep going back into town day after day after day
I don't know
and
what
attacking. I mean,
if
big.
it's a serial killer?
That's just killing
Maybe.
dogs every day.
Well, when he's like a kid or something, and then he grew up to be, where is
Or maybe a
Bladenborough?
serial killer who's fighting the urge to kill
North
people,
Carolina.
and he's like, I gotta kill
What? We're in the
somebody.
50s?
Yeah, 1954.
Don't know
Okay.
of any serial killers in North Carolina in 1950s.
Well, he
Well,
wouldn't be killing in 1954.
okay.
All right, while you look that up, so we're starting to get a description of the animal now because people are seeing it. However, the descriptions aren't all like perfectly aligned, not as varied as the freaking chupacabra. So we had one man said it was about 4.5 feet long, which is what had been reported in Clarkton, that first dog that was killed. Another just described it as small. I don't know what that means. That's all they said. A few residents said that it resembled a small bear or a panther. One resident saw the creature like crashing through some bushes and heard a sound, oh yeah, heard a sound like a baby crying and thought that the sound was coming from the animal. And they estimated it to be about 150 pounds. One account that was printed in the newspaper described it as dark, about 20 inches high, which doesn't feel high enough for me for like as big as they were saying it was, with a
20
long tail.
inches?
Yeah, that's not even like 2 feet, you
Yeah.
know? Long tail and a face like a cat said it moved stealthily, and one person said that they saw it running with a smaller one running next to it. So not like hugely varied accounts, but different accounts of like how big it is. So January 3rd was when these last two dogs were killed. That night, Police Chief Roy Flores went out hunting for the creature with his hunting dogs, but said that they refused to follow the trail. The next day, January 4th, a group of youths, I don't know how old they are, it just said young, helpful people or something, took their hunting dogs and went out hunting for the creature with nothing to show for it. That night, a group of hunters from Wilmington, because news is spreading like quickly, because the attacks were just day by day by day. That night, a group of hunters from Wilmington came, and they tracked the creature for about 3 miles through swampland. They said that the tracks showed claws about 1 inch long, and the way that the tracks circled, they believed that it might have had offspring nearby. January 5th, a pet rabbit is found decapitated. Also that day, the creature was seen attacking a dog, which ran away during the attack and then never came back. So hopefully it just escaped and became a wild dog. Later that day, a woman saw what she described as a big mountain lion a few houses down from her. It charged her, but when she screamed, it turned and ran away. So that night, where are we? We're still January 5th. More than 800 people showed up, like gathered, to go hunting this creature out in the swamp. The hunt was ended pretty quickly due to safety concerns. The mayor was like, "Ah, I don't love that you guys are out here. 800 people with guns and maybe a giant mountain lion." So the next day, January 6th, a young boy named Dalton Norton said he saw a big cat on his porch that made noise like a baby crying. January 7th, a dead dog was found on a farm. Later that day, they found a goat with its head flattened, just flattened. I don't know why I had to say it again. It's just weird.
Was it round?
Flattened.
Oh.
Yeah, so that night, January 7th, again, people decided to gather to go hunting. 800 to 1,000 people gathered, and this time they just kind of like said, go for it. Walk through the swamps with your guns looking for the creature. The next day, they were going to do a hunt again, but far fewer people showed up. I guess it wasn't as exciting the first night.
Old
And then the
news.
mayor officially called off the hunt and said, we're not doing it again unless we have like more obvious killings from this creature. For two reasons. One, it wasn't safe for the people. He was worried about so many people being out and about with weapons and this creature loose. And two, word had gotten around that the police chief, planned on staking his dogs out as bait. And a local humane society heard about that and did not like it. And the mayor was like, we don't need this kind of attention,
Yeah, I
chief.
don't like it either.
Yeah. His plan was to stake them out and then be like hiding nearby to wait for the creature. And yeah, the Humane Society was like, please don't do that.
Side
So they
note,
didn't. So that's something.
I love how one of the illustration renderings of this creature
Yeah.
is on a little
Bag.
bag,
Yeah.
like a little
Yeah, well, the
post
town
bag
has
between
kind
his
of like
legs.
leaned into the lore a little
I
bit.
mean, I don't
So January
know.
11th, two cars that were driving through town had to stop as a 4-foot-long cat-like animal crossed the road. January 13th, a local farmer found a bobcat stuck in a steel trap 4 miles outside of the city. He killed it and brought it back with him. And the mayor told all the newspapers, hey, we got the beast of Bladenboro. It was this bobcat. Oh, shoot. I didn't put the picture of the bobcat in the slide. You guys have an idea of bobcats. They're not very big.
They're not.
And people were questioning it because bobcats are kind of little for the extreme damage, like the dog that was decapitated and stuff. There's also a little bit of confusion about who actually killed the bobcat because there was another guy who killed a bobcat in the same area, and the mayor like accidentally sent the picture of his bobcat to the newspaper. It was a weird thing. Everybody wanted to claim that they had killed the beast of Bladenboro. So we're not really sure what the creature was, but we don't have accounts of more killings happening after this. Some people said panther, but they're not found in North Carolina. Others said mountain lions, which sometimes are. There are people who believe that it was canine rather than feline, maybe even a wolf, because wolves weren't in the area at the time, but they used to be. So they said maybe a wolf had wandered back. And if the stories about the tracks are true, then canine would make sense because they said the tracks had claws, and canines' claws are just out, whereas cats have them retracted and would, you know, pull him out for the attack, but wouldn't just walk around with him out, probably. There was a man named R. Stanton who said that he had previously given a dog, which was a German Shepherd Hound mix, to a Native American boy who lived somewhere on the edge of the swamp. The dog's name was Big Boy. He had dark, he was dark, large, had a big bushy tail, and had been known to kill chickens for fun. And he was like, hey, maybe Big Boy got loose and went on a bit of a rampage in town. But we don't know. And also, when you were talking about serial killer, I kind of was thinking, because at this point, you know, this went on for like a week and a half, and then it just stopped. And I was like, maybe somebody had to get a lot out of their system and killed a bunch of dogs, and then we're like, I gotta get out of here. They're hunting for me now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the town has leaned into the lore a little bit for fun, for touristy stuff. And there's an organization in town called Boost the Borough, which is just like, you know, community enrichment stuff. They have an annual Beast Fest at the end of October, which is just, it's a festival, but they, you know, have Beast of Bladenboro merch and there's food and stuff. So that's fun.
Huh.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of the Beast of Bladenboro?
Is a bit more believable than the Chupacabra, based on the evidence of all the dogs dying.
Yeah.
But I don't care for it because of all the dogs dying.
Yes. I kind of like Mountain Lion for it. Yeah. Like, I'm willing, you know.
It seems
some people said it was dark. Mountain lions aren't usually dark, but it was like dark when the attacks were happening. So
it seems weird to me that it was just like attacking the dogs for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, it wasn't eating them. I mean, yeah. It was taking pieces, like the head one was decapitated, and like the jaws and stuff. But it wasn't eating them right there. And but it was just, it was so back to back to back.
I don't think animals typically eat the heads because yeah. It's all fat.
They would want to get into the guts and stuff.
Yeah.
Some animals eat the heads.
Yeah. What and if it was thinking, a werewolf?
Ooh. What if it's a mountain lion, but she had cubs, and these dogs got too close?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe mountain lion with cub.
They're on their own property.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but she's like she's walking across the yard and she's like, you're too close to my dog, my babies. So
that sounds like cat mentality.
If she feels like the dog is gonna attack her babies, she'll kill.
Yeah. Stupid. And it would make sense why it was like so constant too, if she did have cubs nearby and she was constantly in like protection mode or
what if she was training them
for my babies mode.
Well, she's training them, she'd feed them. She wouldn't just do it as sport. There has to, like, the only animal that kills for sport are humans. Like, animals kill when they, like, feel threatened or they need the food.
Well, then how do you explain beast? Threatened. Okay.
It doesn't make sense for her to, for the animal to need that much food repeatedly day after day.
Weird. It's weird. And then it did stop. So.
Well, maybe she
There was a, not an interview, basically somebody said that they had spoken with the mayor sometime after this.
So you were going to say spoken with the beast.
She said she's good, she's moving on.
She said she's sorry about all the trouble she caused, but she's deucing out, so we like don't even need to worry about it anymore.
She was PMSing.
They had spoken with the mayor sometime after it had all died down, and the mayor said that he was like disturbed by the number of dog killings there had been, but he thought it was just some random predator in the area.
Oh, I thought he was going to say some teenagers.
No, he said something like, but any, it's like any publicity is good publicity kind of thing. He was like, any publicity for a small town, you know? So, yeah, All right. Beast of Bladenboro. Got one more for you. One more creature. Now, we're going to Utah and Idaho, the literal border of Utah and Idaho, to learn about the Bear Lake Monster.
Oh, no.
So, you can see this is a picture of Bear Lake, and in this map's picture, it is like halfway, the dividing line between Idaho and Utah is like halfway across the middle.
Which is weird because you know how like all of our states are weird shaped? It's usually they usually like try and when they were making the states, they tried to like go along like water.
Yeah. Well, as you get out to like the Midwest and stuff, they get blockier.
They stop caring.
Yeah.
Well, I think they have to work with the mountains.
Yeah, that's a thing too.
What is this? What are we talking about now?
The
The
Bear Lake Monster.
Bear Lake Monster.
Yes. So Bear Lake is located on the border of Utah and Idaho. It is 20 miles long. It's a big fucking lake. 20 miles long, 8 miles wide. And the state park around it, Bear Lake State Park, hosts about 15,000 campers every year. It is a very popular spot because it is gorgeous. It's sometimes referred to as the Caribbean of the Rockies because of that color. In the summer, people boat, swim, fish, play in the lake. In the wintertime, you can ice fish for the Bonneville Cisco,
Oh
which
my
is
God.
only found in this lake.
I just realized that these are cars.
Yeah, that's zoomed out from the beach. It's
So
huge.
big.
Yeah. It's not like Great Lake big, but I was looking at pictures and it feels almost like it should be because it's humongous. So, in 1868, so when we first start hearing about the beast, it's before there was like Utah and Idaho. They weren't states yet. They don't become states until 1890 and 1894. At this time, the whole area was all called the Utah Territory. Okay? So, in 1868, a Latter-day Saint settler, so Mormon, named Joseph Rich, published an article, he was a news correspondent, in the Deseret News that said, quote, I'm giving you a whole quote from this one, "The Indians have a tradition concerning a strange serpent-like creature inhabiting the waters of Bear Lake. Now, it seems this water devil, as the Indians called it, has again made an appearance. A number of our white settlers declare they have seen it with their own eyes. This Bear Lake monster, as they now call it, is causing a great deal of excitement up here." End quote. And his article included several stories, like several sightings of the monster. So, oh, I said that already. They weren't states yet. Soon after, leaders of the Mormon Church stopped in the area and spoke with locals. During this time, even though it was like forever ago, they would go on like preaching tours around out there and
Well,
just
that's
stop in
their
different towns
religion.
and preach and stuff. So they stopped in this area because
They
they
have
heard
to
about.
spread the good word, Lacey. That's their religion.
Yeah, they're fun. They heard about this monster, and so when they were in the area, they spoke with the locals about it. And they heard so many stories about the monsters from the locals that they felt the story was indisputable. And they were like, yeah, we believe you. You've got a monster there in Bear Lake. Locals claimed that in addition to eating fish, the monster would also live off of animals who came to the lake at night to drink. Did I give you a description of it yet? No. Okay, so let me tell you that because then it'll make more sense. So its body is like a serpent with legs. So it lives in the lake, but it can come up on land. It can walk on land if it wants to. It's somewhere between 40 and 50 feet long. Has spikes along its spine from the bottom of its head all the way down. There's no spikes in that picture. Pretend they're there. Its head looks either like a cow, an otter, a crocodile, or a walrus without tusks. And
I'm
when it's in the
leaning towards
water,
a crocodile, or I'm sorry, an alligator, because we're in
I
the
like the cow, the serpent with a cow head. And it's when it's in the water, it moves faster than a train.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you're not gonna get away from it. So the Deseret News keeps publishing stories about it now as more and more people are telling their accounts. Other newspapers started picking it up, so word of it is spreading outside of the Bear Lake area. The Salt Lake Tribune actually published an article that called the monster, quote, "twin brother to the devil and cousin to Brigham," end quote. So Brigham Young was like the leader of the Church of the Founder Day Saints, of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. There's a lot of words in here.
But he was the
He
cousin
was
to
important. He was an important Mormon. So they
him.
basically were like, Brigham Young is a real monster. Yeah.
Go over the family tree with me again.
Who's
Him.
Brigham Young?
He's no. He's the twin of the devil, and he's
Okay.
the
Oh,
cousin of
cousin to
Brigham.
Brigham Young.
Okay.
Yeah. So, 1874, Ogden Junction, which is around the outside of Bear Lake, received a letter from an LDS bishop named William Budge, who who wrote in to say that he and his two friends had just seen the monster, and he gave his description of it, which kind of tracked with the serpent body with the cow head. As more, oh, this is where I put the description. I said, as more and more people saw it, here's the description that came about. I gave that to you guys already. As stories of the Bear Lake monster grew, stories of other water monsters also grew. In No. lakes all across northern Utah, people began seeing monsters similar to the Bear Lake monster, which had people wondering if there was some underground channel connecting a bunch of the big lakes out there.
And the world is flat.
Yes. At this point, even Brigham Young got interested in the story of the monster. He said he wanted to know if the story was, quote, an honest tale of a serpent or only a fish story, end quote. And his contribution was to send a big rope to Paris, Idaho, which is right by the lake, to help them capture the monster. So he wanted somebody to capture it and then prove to him this is a real thing.
And yes. His way of doing that was to send rope?
He said, here's a rope.
There's a Paris, Idaho. Catch
the monster. Prove to me it's real.
No money. Just rope.
Here's a big rope. So a man local to Bear Lake actually came up with a contraption to catch the monster. He had like a prototype, kind of.
Is it this?
No, that's the Bear Lake monster boat. So it would have a big hook. It was kind of like fishing for the monster, almost. A big hook attached to a 20-foot cable attached to 900 feet of rope. Other end of the rope would be attached to a large buoy, which would be held in place by an anchor so that the buoy's not drifting around, and would have a big flag sticking up out of the top so you can see when it's yanked upon. And then there would be 300 feet of rope from the buoy to a tree on the shoreline. So once he got hooked, he could only go until, you know, he got snagged. The plan was to capture the monster and then charge people to see it. Like a circus.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. Nothing came of it. I could find nothing that said he had this whole idea, and there was nothing that was like, and then he tried it, and here's what happened.
But he didn't have enough rope.
Yeah. Not all the sightings were in the 1800s. There have been more, getting more recent. So in 1907, I know that's not recent, okay? But a Utah newspaper published an article about two men who said the monster had attacked their camp and killed one of their horses. Here's a quote from the article. The one man said, "It was now close enough for us to see that it was some water monster, then started toward us like a mad elephant. Before we could move, he grabbed the horse with his two front paws, opened its teeth into it like a bull terrier would a mouse. After tearing the horse badly, he made an awful howl and then was gone." End quote. So that's what they saw. In 1937, a four-year-old whose family was visiting the lake saw it. That's all I have about that story.
I don't think we can trust that child.
No. You said four?
Four-year-old.
Now I have a four-year-old. If she told me she saw this monster, I'd be like, okay, honey.
Yeah, not Are corroborated you... by any family or anything.
She already is believing something else is going on, so yeah.
He said I saw a monster. His parents were like, probably.
Your imagination's crazy. Yeah.
A Boy Scout leader, so that would be a whole grown-up, said that he saw it in 1946. The most recent sighting was by Brian Hershey, who owns, not spelled like R. Hershey.
Oh.
I don't even know that I'm saying that right. Who owns a business in Bear Lake. He said one night in June of 2002, he was anchoring his boat and he saw two humps, like the, you know, like serpent humps, sticking out of the water before seeing the monster jump into the air. He described it as serpent-like with dark, slimy green skin and red eyes. It is important to note that he saw this just before tourist season started, when people like to come to Bear Lake and look for the Bear Lake monster.
What a happy coincidence.
So, crazy. So far, what are your thoughts on the Bear Lake monster? Do we believe in him?
No.
I like the part where they were like, oh, there's creatures in all of these lakes. There's got to be a tunnel.
They're everywhere. This is so crazy.
Or maybe you're seeing new species for the first time.
Maybe that's why they can't find the Loch Ness monster, because she is going to different lakes.
Yeah. Well, in 1894, Joseph Rich, who published that first newspaper article about it, said the whole story had been a wonderful first-class lie.
Shocking.
Yeah. Despite him admitting to making it up, people continue to see the monster. So I'll just give you like four that happened in the 1900s. And local residents have really leaned into it. kind of like the Beast of Bladenborough, but they take it a little bit further. So, for example, there was a company called Bear Lake Monster Boat. Okay, and I did look. It seems like they've gone out of business or they closed. But they had this big boat that was shaped like a green monster, and they would take you on a 45-minute cruise on the lake, and they would tell you folklore on the cruise.
Oh, that's
Like,
cool.
yeah, that's fun. I can't believe I was really sad when I went to find their page and they were like not in operation anymore.
Well, we could buy a boat.
It probably
Good.
didn't survive COVID.
That's yeah, it probably was a victim there. Every year, Bear Lake has its annual Raspberry Days Festival. So Bear Lake, the area around it, is known like internationally for its raspberries. Yeah, and its raspberry milkshakes. It was even mentioned in somebody's book or something. I don't know.
Oh.
So they have their annual Raspberry Days Festival, which includes a parade. And every year, the locals have a float in the parade that they just have a bunch of kids sit in it with a sign that says the real Bear Lake Monsters.
Huh.
And during the 1996 Raspberry Days, Garden City had a competition for local kids to name the monster. The winning submission was Isabella.
Oh.
Oh. And that's what I have for you on the Bear Lake Monster.
I like Isabella.
Me too. I had to open up some page when I was researching this, and it was like, Bear Lake Monster, other name, Isabella. And I was like, what the fuck? And when I got to the end, I read that. I was like, oh, okay. Isabella.
The boat reminds me of the duck boats from Philly. Yeah.
Oh,
I was trying to find every picture was like blurry or weird.
That's because the lake is so big, it's so far away.
It probably is. That's a big fucking lake. But I like that in this one, the first person to talk about it later was like, hey guys, I made that up. And people were like, it doesn't
Yes,
matter. This is our story now.
I think I'll have to put Bear Lake on my to visit list.
As I was reading about it in the area, I was like, I would like to go to Bear Lake, and I would like to go there in the summer and have a raspberry milkshake.
What state's
And
it in?
there's all these,
It's in between Utah and Idaho.
yeah, right on the border of Utah and Idaho.
Utah.
And there's all, it's there's ton of stuff to do out there in the
It
summertime.
looks like there's a road, Lacey. I don't know if you saw that, like, there's another lake. It's Mud Lake that's, like, right on top
Like
of it.
right above it, yeah.
Yeah, there's a road that goes between them. That's gotta be a beautiful
Ooh,
road.
that's fun.
Found this picture.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's the Loch Ness Monster.
No, it's just a Bear Lake
No,
monster.
that's Nessie, bro.
Look at the spikes.
That's Nessie.
Very spiky. Those look like rose thorns.
Who is this dude?
It's probably the
It
guy
might
that
be
brought it up.
Brady.
Bring him young.
We watched a show on Netflix or Hulu a couple weeks ago. I think like over winter break. I don't remember what it was called now, but it was about like that time period out west. And it was based on true stuff. Like, it had Jim Bridger, it had Brigham Young, it had like a couple other well-known names. It was dramatized because that's what you do, but we enjoyed it.
This
I enjoyed it
picture.
more. He got Brandon got frustrated with the one of the main characters, and so he was not happy with her. But for if you like westerns and shootouts and stuff, it was pretty good.
This picture says Bear Lake Monster or Muskrat. You decide.
Tough call. Is that a
That's a
moose?
moose.
It's a moose. Well, this has been fun.
Yeah. Anybody want to add anything about any of our creatures today before we wrap it up?
I'm pretty so Chupacabra's not real. I'm pretty sure the I forgot the other name for the
Beast
North
of
Carolina.
Bladenborough.
She's a mountain lion with babies and that was feeling threatened. That's what it was. And I don't think there was a creature in this lake.
What? But you saw the pictures.
There were pictures.
I called one of them Nessie, so.
And you heard the stories. A 4-year-old saw the monster.
Oh, now I believe.
They are notoriously truthful.
100%. Kids are our future.
Yep.
Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.